This week on Foot Weekly.
It's that time again. Team of the Year is upon us. Our special guest, Twitter's foot economist, answers your Team of the Year questions. Will we ever see a proper crash again?
I missed out on the Monday Madness. Is that it for discount dips into the market?
As always, we talk through the Team of the Week, informed impressions, and something a bit different.
Hello, welcome to week 17 of Foot Weekly.
Hi.
That was Horace, and I'm Ben, and we're here once again to bring you the latest in foot chat, insight, gameplay, and all those other good stuff that we normally say. So, how was your weekend, Dick?
Oh, I had a bit of a shit one, to be honest. I played a decent amount. I started really well. I got 9 wins from my first 12, so it's like a 75% win rate.
That's really good.
It's going really, really well.
Elite.
Elite. And then I kind of maintained about a kind of 2-1 win rate over my next 10 games or so. So I was at like 15 wins. Mm. And then it took me something like 10 or 12 games to get my last 3 wins to get up to gold. Well, 3. It was just horrible. It all fell apart. I had weird lag. It was it wasn't just speed up lag, and it wasn't kind of input lag. It was where I could be like just all input from my end stopped for a couple of seconds. So I'd be running along with the ball, and my player would just stop and wouldn't respond to any inputs I made or anything. Like, literally unplayable. And defending, you'd like tell your player to move forwards, and they wouldn't move for a minute, and then they'd move forwards for about 3 seconds, by which time your opponent's already well past you. And that cost me 3, maybe 4 games, and like also tilted me massively, and I was just playing terrible, terrible FIFA.
And also, I suppose, you know, it's one of those things that you'd probably, in a normal circumstance, not weekendly, you'd probably not play those games. You know, you would wait a bit and you'd play another time, but you probably felt you needed to get the wins in. So
yeah, exactly. I wouldn't, if I had that, normally I'd just stop playing and go off and run around outside for a bit or something. But
kick a ball really hard against a wall.
Yeah, exactly. But as it is, I just felt I had to carry on playing. And it was particularly frustrating because it didn't seem to be like, it was just in one game and then like another game was fine. The first 60 minutes of a game would be fine. And then I'd get that lag for 25 minutes or like the rest of that match or something. It would cost me the match, or it would start off and then it would disappear for a little bit and then it would come back. It was awful. I'm probably just going to play like a handful of games this weekend, if at all, because I just got a bit disillusioned with it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I had bad lag quite. I had get bad lag quite often, but that lag I've only had a couple of times, so that is quite unfortunate that you had it. Lag has kind of almost become part of weekend league, and it's really frustrating because it shouldn't be like that. And obviously, you're kind of at times forced to play through it because you want to get the games in, which is ridiculous. But, you know, funnily enough, I had a shocking weekend the weekend before last. But I had a bit of a sort of moment of realization last week where I was sort of saying I'm going to switch it up because I just, the 4-3-2-1 isn't how I really play. It's like I was just forcing the play constantly with it. Mm. It's too narrow. Like, I like to pass it about a bit. I like to like create one-on-ones in wide areas, and it just was really making me play badly. And I thought it was going well because I constantly improved my team over the period, so it felt like I was getting better, but I wasn't. I was just building a better team, basically. So I kind of brought it back to basics, went back to the 4-2-3-1-2 with the wide left mids, 2 CDMs, which is really solid. And you can really like ping the ball out wide quite easily. The right mid, left mid do get in behind, but at the same time, they create like a passing option. The cam is really crucial, so I've got Rui Costa there, who's phenomenal. And that allows me to like link in plenty of players, which that formation is awkward for hybrids otherwise. So yeah, it was a good weekend. I got 24 wins in the end, which is good considering the week. Although that's like not especially impressive overall, my weekend before was pretty bad. So I was quite pleased with it. And I felt like I was playing some decent football, and it really kind of, I guess after the previous weekend when I was just like, I'm not going to play weekend league again because it was horrible, I think I was kind of sort of looking forward to this weekend using the team again and sort of playing my football, if you like.
Yeah.
So that's been nice, and I'm quite looking forward to maybe hopefully bringing in some more players and, you know, improving that squad over time.
Yeah. I think that can be quite a nice thing to do if you've got like a kind of strong base of a squad, steadily finding ways to improve it, whether that's bringing in special versions of cards or adding in a couple of different players, kind of swapping them in and out, if it really works for you.
Yeah, because I've got Rui Costa in camp, and then I've got Lalas, who I'm going to talk about a bit later, in centre-back. And he and Rui Costa allow basically a lot of flexibility down one side.
Yeah, by having urgency. Yeah, exactly. Just need like a strong link or two and you're completely set.
Yeah, exactly. So especially for the CDM, because it links with the cam and the centre back, and
yeah,
and you get lots of flexibility there. So I mean, basically just using it to play Kante, but it's really, really good formation. I'd recommend anyone who likes a bit more of a measured approach. approach. And of course, yeah, if anyone fancies the custom taxes, send us a DM or a tweet and I'll let them know.
Yeah, I actually nicked those custom tactics off you because I wanted to switch my playstyle up a bit, and they've been working quite well. I tweaked them slightly, but
yeah,
it's always good to tweak. If you get like a set of custom tactics off a site, or like look at a pro player's tactics, it's always good, like, play a game or two with that setup and then maybe tweak it.
Yeah, exactly.
You will probably naturally play slightly differently to how they do.
Yeah, exactly. You're never going to be able to exactly replicate the way they play, and they've probably tweaked it over time to get it right for them. So it's only makes sense to tweak it back to how you feel it's going to work for you. So I think that's pretty much it. We're probably ready to wrap up the podcast now. Don't think we've got much else to talk about.
Yeah, no, pretty quiet week, really.
Yeah, there aren't really any big cards, 99 rated or anything like that to talk about, I don't think.
Nah.
So we're probably done. Great.
Cool. Okay, right. See you next week.
Yeah, we're obviously kidding. We've got the team of the year to talk about, and we're going to have, as you might have heard in the introduction, we'll have the Foot Economist joining us shortly. So there's obviously huge market fluctuations going on and interesting stuff around that, but we'll wait to talk to him about it. So we'll just chat briefly about the cards themselves.
Yeah, so last week we were talking about how that prediction got leaked that lots of people took as gospel, and it turned out not to be right. It was broadly right, but I think pretty much any of us could have got a prediction that was broadly right. So I think the big things he got wrong were Suarez is in instead of he predicted Neymar.
Yeah.
And we've got Dani Alves, that truly excellent footballer. he is a top level footballer, but potentially not team of the year.
Yeah.
Has been brought in for Thiago Silva in terms of differences between the prediction and what turned out to be true. Which is in keeping with previous team of the years, I guess, to have Dani Alves in there. But
at least they're consistent.
At least they're consistent. It's not the most popular choice.
He's got
Foothead.
Quite
he's
a lot of downvotes.
Currently got 1,000 downvotes as of 4 PM GMT on Thursday.
Yeah.
And I mean, what is there to say about it? They're all going to be outstanding players, probably the best in their position for over the course of the year, at least until team of the season. And
yeah,
anything to add?
I mean, obviously they have outstanding stats. I don't know whether there's any point in running through them. But basically, like Ronaldo, if you put basic on him, if you put Hunt on him, it only shows up on Foothead as a +1
on his pace.
On his pace, that's it.
Yeah.
So it shows how little you can do to boost these cards. It was also quite interesting because obviously it means that chemistry doesn't matter so much to them because their base stats.
Yeah, that is a good point.
So
actually,
you can basically play them anywhere and they'll.
Yeah. Play the same or you could put something like Sentinel on Ronaldo and just because all his attacking stats are already pretty much maxed out.
Yeah.
So you can kind of, it gives you more scope to be creative with chem cells, I suppose.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, the thing is there is only really his defending stats which are really lacking. He's just,
yeah,
it's absolutely ridiculous.
He is like maxed out everywhere else. And have you actually got to use any of them yet?
Yeah, so I've done a couple of drafts this week in preparation for getting those packs.
Yeah, and, storing up all your rewards.
For the weekend. Obviously not expecting much, but you might as well. Because if you packed like Modric and he wasn't in packs, you'd be pretty disappointed.
Yeah, I think I saw on Twitter, Itani packed Messi at 6:05 on Wednesday night. So he just started opening packs because all the midfielders are just coming to packs. And he got Messi like literally 5 minutes after his team of the year had stopped being available. Wow. So yeah, that's a bit of a killer.
And so, yeah, I got to use him in draft Ronaldo, and he in the 99 Ronaldo, and yeah, he was pretty stunning. Actually, I've got him in my current draft, which I'm still waiting to play the final three games. It was
backing yourself to get to the final there.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, I didn't think about that. But I did actually win one of the drafts. It's been fairly successful, and I think a lot of people are playing draft at the moment because it's a chance to try out these cards that they're not going to get to actually play with probably. And the Ronaldo card is just unreal. I mean, he's as you'd expect. Just he Yeah, there's just no way.
It's a 99 rated card, yeah. So in theory, it's like the best card you can possibly get.
Yeah, exactly.
Which it pretty much is.
And then, I mean, I used Iniesta as well, and he feels really, really nice on the ball. And has 70 defending actually, which doesn't really show in game. But I was playing him as a centre mid, as one of two centre mids, and that obviously means that he gets very tired. He doesn't have very.
He's got a lot of running to do.
And that's going to be a real, I guess, problem for that card. You can only really play him as like a proper forward player, and in these days, if you're doing weekend league and stuff, I'm not sure he's got the physicality or the pace.
Yeah,
even with 80 pace.
I mean, there's a genuine case to be made that N'Golo Kanté can do what he can yeah. do.
That is ridiculous, isn't it? But it's the state. It's the state of the gameplay this year. I mean, that's just how it is, unfortunately. And Modric, on the other hand, I mean, he looks stunning with 80 pace and 80 physical. And obviously phenomenal dribbling and passing, which massively boosted shooting.
Yeah, the shooting is probably like pretty much his weakest point on his base card, having used him quite extensively in the weekend league. Let's say it's like the most disappointing part of his card. But with 85 shooting up from the kind of mid-70s, I guess, by default, that looks huge.
Yeah, and I think also that you've got the fact that you could play him with Kroos and Iniesta, which would be quite nice. So easily because they're both BVA and obviously a strong link to Kroos. And Kroos actually looks like he'd be a decent holder.
Yeah. I'll just splash out my 10 million or whatever I've got and play that in the weekend league.
To be fair, I don't think either of them are that expensive.
They're both kind of a mil and a half, aren't they, or so? Modric
is 1.5. Kroos is 900k. So not much yet.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
But yeah, we'll have to see whether the prices drop over this weekend. It's pretty likely. But yeah, so that's the team of the year, and we'll get the key team of the year market chat in just a moment when we chat to the Foot Economist.
Yeah, or Jamie, as we will probably be addressing him when we actually chat.
A bit easier, isn't it?
A bit quicker. Anyway, yeah, we'll catch you in a minute.
So, welcome back. We're very delighted to welcome the Foot Economist, or at Foot _ Economist on Twitter. And we're going to be calling him Jamie, as we mentioned in the last segment, because that's slightly more convenient.
Less of a mouthful.
Yeah, a bit less of a mouthful. So, how are you?
I'm good, guys. Happy toddy.
Yeah. I think that's the first time I've heard someone call it Totti, but too much confusion with the Italian footballer of the same name, I think.
True.
So, so you obviously are American, we're English. What do you think the differences are playing foot over in the States?
Yeah, so, I mean, you always see on Twitter and, like, other social media, but talking about how the North American servers for the weekend league are less competitive. The guys that are playing in the North American servers that are trying to go pro are always kind of get ragged on by the guys from, you know, Europe. But sort of, so I guess maybe it's less competitive, I don't know. I have never played FIFA in Europe, but I have a couple of exchange students. I'm in college right now, and I have a couple of exchange students that have actually come over. And they play me and some of my friends in FIFA. Just as a background, I've played soccer all my life, or football all my life. I've always sort of been considered like a snob and sort of like compared to my fellow Americans about how I appreciate soccer. I'm just going to call it soccer because that's what
we call it. Yeah, that's cool.
But so I guess one of the main things, I don't know if you guys know this, but one of the main differences between how soccer is played here as opposed to in Europe is that we're a lot more direct over here, and we focus a lot more on like the physical play and just really not passing backwards. Passing backwards, if you go to a sort of Sunday league match, if anyone passes the ball backwards, it's sort of it's frowned upon because it's considered away from the goal, away from the objective. So long story short, we had a couple of French exchange students that were playing my roommates. And they were saying, like, you are very direct. Like, you always go forward. You always go straight to the goal. And they were getting annoyed that they would cross the ball constantly. So I guess maybe that's how we're different in the sense of how we play.
And do you play like that on foot yourself? You know, are you very direct? And do you?
I guess so. I like to do. I guess there's pace wars that you could say, and then I'm a dribble, like a precision dribble guy. So I really enjoy, I guess you could call it tiki-taka. It's a bit more direct than that. But when I get into the final third, my like the way I would score or create most of my opportunities is by precision dribbling, getting by goals like that. Yeah.
So do you have a particular player that you're sort of find does that for you at the moment?
I do actually. If you guys, I don't know if you have seen it, but on my Twitter, I just put up a video of third and four Mertens. I swear his dribbling is broken.
Yeah, I can imagine
that. I have a video of him taking a dribble down the field where he literally breaks Smalling's ankles. He takes two touches in the air at the same time. Basically, he snakes the ball in the air twice and changes directions two times in a row. He's ridiculous.
Yeah, that card does look just unreal.
Yeah, I remember did you pick him up as more of an investment initially? Or
I did. Yeah. I actually picked up four of him.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we can get into the market stuff if you guys want, but he is a very good. He's on the top of my list right now as far as winter upgrade investments. So
yeah, no, he's got to be pretty much a dead set. So yeah, as you were saying, why don't we move into some market chat? We've had quite a few questions through Twitter.
Right.
And the first one asks basically when's the best time to pick up that Team of the Year player? That comes in from Twan Bentem.
Yeah, so this has always been a tough one. For those of you that don't know, in years past, before FIFA 16, Team of the Year cards had always been cheapest during the actual Team of the Year, like while they were in promo packs. But last year, they were actually significantly higher while they were in promo packs. And I think there's two reasons. The first is the hype around them has sort of been building every year around Team of the Year. And then two, because a lot of the big influencers in the sort of newly growing investing community, the trading community, was hyping up the Team of the Year as investments. Because in the past, looking at previous trends, they've always gone up after Team of the Year. So a bunch of people with a lot of coins bought these guys, not necessarily to play with them, but just to buy them and then hold them and then hopefully that they would go up. So obviously that sort of artificial demand, if you will, would inflate their prices. So a lot of people are concerned going into this year. They're concerned if the prices are going to go up or going to go down. Just my sort of initial reaction is it seems like a lot of the big investors have sort of shied away from investing in Team of the Year cards. So maybe the demand is a bit organic, but to sort of counter that, we have what appears to be an extremely low card weight. I don't think I've ever seen someone blow through more FIFA points than Castro, and he didn't manage to pack. He only managed to pack one Team of the Year in 100,000 FIFA points, which is insane. So
crazy.
I guess I can just sort of summarize that, put a bow on it. The prices of the Team of the Year forwards, they look too expensive to me at the moment. 6 million for a Ronaldo who is really only going up. Three rating points from his 96. That seems too expensive to me.
Yeah.
The midfielders, actually yesterday, if I remember correctly, Kroos was going at like 875, Modric was going at 9-something, Modric was going at 1.3 and Iniesta was going at 9-something. Those aren't bad. I still expect them to go down a little bit more. So I guess, long story short, wait until they are in the Friday to Sunday time when they're all in packs, if you're going to look to maybe try and snipe one or something like that. But other than that, just you can wait until after Team of the Year. I think they're still inflated.
I think I've seen in the past often, I don't know, this might just be, this is purely speculative, but where you've seen EA actually pump in more of those players into packs later in the kind of time they're out so that there's enough on the market. And I think initially it did seem like the pack weight was very low to start with on the forwards. So they may actually end up compensating over this weekend, which would be quite interesting, I think.
Could lead to a little bit of a
brief
drop.
Right. And not to mention the fact that it seems like a lot of people are actually hoarding their packs until this happens every year, but more so than most, people are hoarding their weekend league rewards, their FUTDraft rewards, they're holding those until the Friday to Sunday time period when they're all going to be in packs. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw them get absolutely pounded.
So yeah, another thing that Lambo Matt, who was previously on the Footstock podcast, asked was whether you think that crashes are potentially a thing of the past with kind of SBCs, inform requirements, and whether just in general EA are more aware of the market and kind of potentially looking at how things happened earlier this week with the market. sort of, yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I definitely, so to answer that question, I don't think crashes are a thing of the past. I think they're still very a real thing. I think the one thing that we can always rely on is sentiment-fueled mm-hmm. crashes. So mm-hmm. panic is something that is going to be in the FIFA community forever. Maybe not. I don't know. I can't tell. Maybe 25 or something like that.
Everyone's sitting there with their economics PhDs.
Right. But you're going to always have the guys on YouTube, on Twitch, who are going to, you know, hype up and sort of mobilize a large mass of their subscribers or their followers, you know, talking about there's going to be some sort of crash, or there's not going to be some sort of crash. Even if you tell a massive, a mass player base that there's not going to be a crash, there's this sort of ingrained, they say in my economics classes, the market never forgets. Well, the market's not ever going to forget that team of the year, there's always been a crash. So there's going to be this percentage of people that are going to go ahead and sell on their players. And I think to an extent, we saw that happen with on this past week. Particularly starting on like Saturday, Sunday, and then heading into Monday, a lot of people were still holding onto their clubs because they wanted to be competitive in their weekend mm-hmm. league teams, and they saw that the prices dipped or picked up a little bit going into the weekend because of weekend league buying. That generally happens, and I think they took that as the sort of green light to liquidate everything they had remaining. And what that actually happened is it started a sort of roller coaster of panic selling, if you will, because. I think a lot of people saw prices start dropping, and when people see prices start to drop, they get this sort of angst, and they want to list on their players because they think, well, if prices are dropping now, they're never mm-hmm. going to stop, and I don't want to lose out on half the value of my club. So we saw that selling actually continue into Monday when we had the gala announcement, and then you combine that selling with the fact that we also had the first round of promo packs, and then combine the fact that we had the announcement that the forwards are going to be released first. And a lot of people were holding out until the forwards, or were planning to hold out until the forwards, and then sort of lost their will to hold on to their packs. They just sort of unleashed everything, and we had, I think we got our quote unquote market crash on Monday. We saw players like Aguero. See, I don't know if you guys do this, but I always break up the market this year into different segments because the SBCs, as to sort of answer this question, I always ramble. If you don't forgive me for that, but the SBCs hold up different parts of the market. They do regulate, so like the 83s, 84s, and then they can tend to corner some of the more specific players. But the 83s and 84s are always going to, in my mind, hold a little bit of value because the SBCs, the Team of the Week SBCs or the 82 plus guarantees or the League SBCs, they're always going to give them a little bit of value. And they're going to generally hold some of the guys that would be normally going for discard, like the non-rares and in the leagues mm-hmm. that are playing for obscure teams. They're going to give them a little bit of value down the line. But the thing that I don't think, and this is maybe a misperception, is a lot of people tend to think that the SBCs can hold up the market universally, which I don't necessarily think is true. Because some of the high-rated, high-priced gold cards, you're never going to see someone turn in. I mean, unless, you shouldn't see anyone ever turn in the likes of an Aguero for an SBC.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the only example of something where that, something like that happened was it Aubameyang in the Christmas with a nation requirement. You had to use him if you wanted to get the Aubameyang one. But outside of those, you're never going to get. Exactly. If you've got a choice, you're never going to submit one of them.
Yeah. Or you could even use the example of Hazard, the player of the month Hazard, where people were turning in Belgian forms and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. It doesn't affect too much. And I've noticed that certainly legend cards, which I've been following quite a lot, they don't really get affected at all by SBCs. They're only, I mean, on Monday, obviously, they were down because pretty much everything was. It's interesting. I wonder whether, I think a lot of people have been asking, have I missed my chance to buy completely? And is Monday definitely going to be the lowest that the market will go? Or do you feel like maybe over the weekend we could see a bit of a dip?
So, it's a tough question. A lot of people, the thing that I always get in my mentions is, when are the elites going to go down?
Yeah.
So the guys, mm-hmm. the high demand legends and the high demand golds. And I tell you what, they are so tough to pin down this year. They did, as you said, they went down on Monday. And the guys that aren't in Team of the Year, so like someone like Bale, for example, as an elite gold card, mm-hmm. and then some of the higher rated legends, I guess I could see them going down on from Friday to Sunday, just because we talked about the facts we talked about earlier with everyone waiting until those dates to open their packs, even their saved up packs. Mm. So I think we could see them dip a little bit.
I guess because
they're... Just not significantly.
Yeah, because they're in packs. Obviously, there's almost, in a way, no doubt that they'll drop, surely, somewhat. I know you have you made this good point, but I think we mentioned last week about the inefficiency of packing players and the economy. I don't know whether that's something you want to mention again, but that's a good point.
Right, yeah. I mean, just sort of in general, when you open up packs, obviously you add supply to the market. And if unless you have something that directly counters that supply, which would in this case be demand, then the prices are going to drop, right? Mm-hmm. And when you open up packs, you get coins as well when you sell on those players, but you don't... You can think of the coins that you get from packs and selling those players as the buying power of the market, and then that buying power is equivalent to demand. And it's not 100% efficient that buying power is then converted into like demand for the market, because one of the EA tax, and then two, you have everyone on the market is going to be, sometimes they hoard their players. They'll keep 83 and 84 rated players because they can be used for SBCs, but mm-hmm. they'll list up the higher rated players.
Yeah.
So you'll have the higher rated players come onto the market more than the 83 and 84 rated players, mm-hmm. which drops their prices faster than the mid-tier players, if you will. And then you sort of combine that with the fact, it's going off at the tangent, but you combine that with the fact that you have this SBCs that are taking buying power off the market.
Yeah.
And then you've got, a recipe for those high rated players to drop.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's sort of legend cards, especially in all those cards that are actually impacts and that will, theoretically, the supply will increase over this coming weekend. But what about the players which are sort of not going to come out of those packs, sort of former Team of the Week items and things like that? What do you reckon might happen to the prices of those players?
Right, yeah, so that's also a hot topic in the investing community, because a lot of people are looking to invest in first Irish informs, but then more so they're focusing on the winter upgrade potential guys. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we're ever going to see their prices, those informs that aren't in packs right now, the informs from previous weeks. I don't think we're ever going to see them get lower than what they were on this past Monday, because I don't think we'll ever... I can't foresee a reason we would have a sentiment-fueled sort of overall panic sell that would have those players drop. Because if you think about it, there's no reason that they would drop anymore because they're not going to be in packs, so there's no sort of economic reason, if you will, that they would drop. So the only reason that I could see them dropping was the panic sell on Monday. Yeah. So the question is that going to happen again? And I don't think so.
Yeah, I suppose, you're not going to get another situation with that. With individual informs from previous weeks, that player could get a better inform, which could potentially push down their current best rated inform a little. But I mean, that's never going to affect all of them.
Yeah, a player I'm personally quite interested in is any of the Ibrahimovic cards, because he's a player that I've been kind of feeling will work into my team. But just various things often happen and you end up not getting it. Like I did buy some players on Monday, but ended up getting involved with something else and ended up not getting Ibrahimovic when I sort of kind of knew I should have, but I didn't. And I was also thinking of the player of the month and wondering whether that might affect the price. As well. So, do you know what kind of happens with Player of the Month cards? Is there much impact on their standard card if they're not involved in the SBC itself?
Right. Yeah. If they're not involved in the SBC, generally their normal gold card sort of kind of stays where it is, because you have some people that are sell them on because they want to just kind of get rid of them and then upgrade to their Player of the Month card. And then you have another bunch of people that are looking to try out their gold card before they go and get the Player of the Month. So their informs, though, generally drop. So I think Ibra has a 90 rated inform.
91, yeah. There's two 91s, which are, because one's the Movember and one's the inform.
Oh, yeah.
Both of which I've kind of been looking at to see whether I might get. But
right, yeah. Generally, those drop. It's not huge, but they drop a little bit. I think you could think back to... I think Diego Costa was using as an example, but I'm pretty sure he dropped when his Player of the Month came out. Have you guys been doing any investing in for Player of the Month? Are you in that?
No, I tend to avoid Player of the Month just because I feel like it's quite random. And also, we both spend a lot of time playing, so we don't get around to speaking for you here, but yeah.
I was going to say, we're not, neither of us, huge investors. I've got a handful of Swedish players who I'll probably sell on tomorrow before we get an announcement, because I'm not sure. I'm not 100% convinced it's going to be Ibra. I don't know. It probably will, but better to sell into the hype, I'd have thought.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say I like to think I'm a relatively competent trader, but I don't sort of put the cash in too often. But when I do, it seems to kind of work out. Like with Jota back earlier on in FIFA, made a huge amount on that. But at the moment, I was thinking go for the high-rated players, you know, the likes of Schmeichel, his recent inform, and I went for the A6-rated Aspas, got him very cheap. So those sort of high-rated players seem to work.
Right, yeah, that's a great look. I guess if you want to talk about some ways we can make some sort of investments or you know, coin-making techniques and going into the rest of this team of the year, Player of the Month, I think, is still a decent opportunity. I don't know when you guys are putting out this podcast, but the investing in sort of the high-rated BPL players, some of them are still pretty low. Talking about you could invest in some of the lower-rated or even higher-rated informs from the BPL, or the Premier League. I shouldn't call it BPL. I got hammered on Twitter the other day. It's not the Barclays Premier League anymore. Yeah, but yeah, so some of those, I think the safest bet, I have a very low risk tolerance. So like you guys, I shy away from doing a lot of the sort of guessing game SBC investments. So they've always required some sort of BPL element, and a high-rated BPL element is almost a guarantee for someone like Ibra, who is looking the favorite to win it. So if you want to do, if you want to invest in those high-rated BPL players and then the informs, you know, a great example was Inform Reed. He was going for 29k or something of the sort when he was in PAX, and now he's going for something like 40k. And even if they don't get, you know, even if they aren't cornered in the Player of the Month SBC, say it's Lallana, for example, and they don't require as high of a rating as you maybe would have liked, there's a really good chance that we're going to see a high-rated SBC at some point for the rest of the team of the year. I wouldn't be surprised if they dropped that sometime on Saturday, maybe Sunday, to counter the enormous supply of packs that are going to be coming onto the market, counter that to that supply. So,
and in fact, kind of going back to that original question about whether we're going to see crashes, it feels like if they're going to introduce some kind of measures to limit the extent of a possible crash over the weekend, if so many people are saving those packs as well, then I think I've seen quite a few people in, and yourself obviously, saying that there could be this higher rated SBC to kind of sweep up some of those players that are going to get churned out.
Do you, I mean, this is pure speculation, do you think it's more likely that they would do a high requirement SBC for a specific non-tradable player card, or for potentially kind of a double chance team of the year packs, or do you reckon basically card or packs as a reward?
Yeah, so those are tough. I love speculating about them, but I also don't like making like specific recommendations for fear.
Yourself down on something.
Right. If we had to guess, I mean, I'm sure you guys have seen the source code, but there are rumored one-to-watch SBCs where the reward is apparently you get three guaranteed one-to-watch items. That would be, in my mind, a very high-rated SBC to get three one-to-watch items, especially considering what some of those guys are. And then they also have the double chance team of the year packs. I don't know if they're going to be 125k packs or what. So it really depends on how big that pack is. And then I would love for them to see, if EA are listening to this, I would love if you guys did a team of the year, like honorable mention or sub bench or something the sort. I would love a team of the year Conte.
I can imagine. That'd be really good.
I mean, but the 81 is broken enough. It's fine. Just use that. It plays like a 99 rated.
Right, yeah. I actually picked up his 84 rated inform. As soon as I found out that he wasn't going to get a team of the year, and every one of the guys that, you know, the team of the group stage, Griezmann, the team, the inform Conte, the Pogba, inform Pogba, all of those guys that people were thinking might get a team of the year and sort of holding off on buying their informs, as soon as they found out that they didn't get a team of the year, they bought them up for their team and they've bumped up in price.
Well, thank you very much, Jamie, aka @foot_economist. Unfortunately, that brings a very insightful chat to an end.
Sure.
I know you have to get back to your Twitter and drop all that wisdom on your followers, and we've got to finish our podcast. But hopefully you'll be back with us with more insight very soon.
Sure.
Great.
Cool. Thanks
very much. Thanks for having me, guys.
So Jamie is off, but there's plenty more for you here, listener. In the second half, Horace and I will bring you our thoughts on Team of the Week 17, plus Informed Impressions, where we review an inform or special card, and finally a new feature to replace Dynamite discards. So we'll see you, although we won't actually see you, after the break. Before we get into it, just a quick reminder that you can subscribe to the Foot Weekly podcast via various podcasting platforms like iTunes, or there's an Android app. Just search Foot Weekly. You can also follow the links on our blog or on our Twitter at Foot Weekly Pod. And you can also follow us on YouTube, although it comes out slightly later, and just the podcasting platforms are a bit easier. Thanks to everyone who said that they were following us through YouTube and who commented and liked the video. That was greatly appreciated. So we are going to keep it on there, although the bulk of our listeners are still through those podcasting platforms. And to be honest, it is easier, so you might as well switch across if you're listening through YouTube. Right, let's dive into that team of the week. Horace, it doesn't sort of seem a stellar week at the top end, does it?
Yeah, I mean, there aren't actually that many players who normally would be high-priced. It's kind of a weird team of the week. You've got 16 golds, which is the average, but only two 81s, but then only two particularly high-value players in Eriksen and Higuain.
And even them, even they aren't particularly...
Yeah, they're both currently hovering around just above and just below the 300k mark. Mm. The Eriksen card looks awesome. The Higuain card, I'm sure, is good, but I've not actually used his card this year at all, so I won't comment too much. Outside of that, players to look out for, Ben Yedder, he looks pretty awesome, 5-star weak foot, 4-star skills. Also on the 5-star weak foot, 4-star skills, Perisic looks lovely. Tonelli, a nice little potentially alternative to the Juve centre-backs.
Mm-hmm.
Isco, some really nice card stats. Position change to a right wing.
Yeah, that's a real disappointment, isn't it?
It's not ideal, is it? Pacini, Italian right back in La Liga. He's got some nice card stats, but his in-games kind of let him down
a bit. He's also 2-star skills and looks a bit clunky and sick foot.
Yeah, he looks pretty poor on the ball. Iago Aspas, another Spanish player with a position change from the centre to the right wing. It's a frustrating one because he'd be an awesome central card, I think. Either as a cam if you gave him a passing boost or as an out-and-out striker.
Does have 3-star skills, which is slightly disappointing.
And also 3-star skills. Gomez and Lozano, two players who are incredibly agile, very quick, 91 and 95 pace respectively.
Obviously Gomez quite nice and linkable.
Yeah, he's got a strong link to Dybala.
Higuain
as well. So he could be a nice one to pick up. And Lozano, really hard to link because he's Mexican in a pretty unpopular league.
Mm.
But you could, with the right chem style, maybe use him as a nice little super sub.
Yeah.
But in terms of players to take a closer look at, Ben, who's your first pick?
Well, my first pick is going to be Tonelli. And I might have mentioned him before, and keen followers of the pod will know I'm a fan of his. He offers a bit of pace for an Italian centre-back. There aren't actually that many quick Italian centre-backs. And obviously this inform has got even more pace. He plays for Napoli, and he's 6 foot. So he's not the tallest, but he does have good jumping. And when you put a shadow chem style on him, he is extremely quick with 91 acceleration and 89 pace. Also, obviously, his defending stats are really high. Any inform which you put shadow on as a centre-back tends to get pretty good defending stats. So he's got 96 interceptions, 99 marking, 99 stand tackle, 98 sliding tackle, and 89 heading accuracy. So yeah, he's pretty sorted on that. But where he really excels is he's got 80 agility, which is just really, really good for a centre-back. I can't really stress that enough. Even Thiago Silva's inform, I'm not sure, has agility quite that good. He also has really good balance, 87 and 83 reactions. So he is really solid. And I think one of the reasons why I really liked him is because I've got quite into agile centre-backs. I think it's really important. You get a massive turning circle on your centre-back and you're always going to be in trouble against the nippier players, the Mooses.
Yeah, players are much more likely to get in behind you as well if you can't turn as fast.
It's not just pace that's important in that, I think. And obviously he's quick anyway. So he's also got 86 jumping, which is decent for a guy who's that short. He has 82 strength, which is probably not that high. He does have 90 aggression though. So I've never really found his strength too much of a problem because he's got good pace and agility, but yeah, maybe you could go with Anku instead, but it's all about pace and defending, really. I don't think strength or height has as big an impact, certainly if you're playing weekend league against your Mooses and your Vardys and all those.
Yeah, exactly.
And Martial and people like that.
You've just got to be able to keep up.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Well, from a pacey centre-back to a pacey striker, my first guard I'm going to look at is Ben Yedder, who I'm sure is someone that has kind of caught the attention of a lot of people. His non-inform has been a bit of a kind of hidden gem that a few people have mentioned to me this year.
Mm.
And this inform card is a really, really nice upgrade. He's got +9 shooting on card, and that translates to some awesome in-game stats. If you put Hunter on him, he gets 99 acceleration, 93 sprint speed, which is lovely, They're in a rather spectacular 99 positioning, 99 finishing, 95 shot power, only 81 long shots, so that's maybe a slight disappointment, but 93 volleys and 97 penalties. So kind of outside of long shots, that's almost maxed out on shooting stats.
Mm.
And I don't think you really need to boost his dribbling because he's got 94 agility, 89 balance, 85 ball control and 87 dribbling.
Yeah, that is really
so strong. He feels awesome on the ball. I did actually pick him up last night and kind of flipped him almost immediately for a couple of K quick profit. But one thing I noticed, I played one game with him, and one thing I did notice that I think is borne out in his stats is he's only got 78 reactions.
Mm.
And that he sometimes did feel a little bit sluggish, to a little bit unresponsive. I mean, maybe I just had a slightly laggy game or something. I don't know. Mm. It was only one game. He scored a nice goal. But I think that combined with his 61 strength, 59 aggression and very low height means he kind of...
He's a tiny bit off that top tier.
Like, you can't play him. He's got to be played alongside someone, yeah, or maybe as a centre forward or something.
Or cam, yeah.
But I mean, those shooting stats with the 5-star weak foot and 4-star skills are pretty lovely.
They don't lie.
Yeah. Yeah, his finishing did feel really, really good.
Yeah, yeah. No, he looks really good. And how much can you get him for at the moment?
Well, at the moment, he's kind of just over 50k. But he has been fluctuating quite a lot. He hovered around 60 for a while last night, shot down just below 50 for a bit, and now he's kind of halfway between the two. Mm. I wouldn't be surprised if by certainly the end of this coming weekend league, he was down at 40 or so.
Yeah, yeah. And I was going to say Tonelli is around 16k at the moment, but he could easily drop lower. And I did pick him up when weekend league rewards came up for 13k. So there's definitely some room for sniping him when all the packs are out.
Definitely. Who's your next card to look at?
So my next card is going to be Casemiro, because I'm going to run through his stats quite quickly, because he doesn't kind of... I mean, he's got good stats, but everyone knows what he's about. He's a good ball-playing CDM with slightly frustratingly medium work rates, which isn't perfect. But what I like about him is that he is Brazilian. He plays for Real Madrid, and there are very few good defensive midfielders in the Spanish league. You've got the likes of, well, in terms of sort of informed players, Mario Suarez, but he's not particularly, well, he's actually not that good at defending. So
yeah.
And there's only a couple of others. I mean, obviously you've got Busquets, people like that. There aren't really any kind of standouts. So he is probably the Liga Santander CDM of choice.
Yeah, Steven Nzonzi maybe?
Yeah, Steven Nzonzi as well. He's a bit slower, obviously. But yeah, and the link, the fact that he's Brazilian obviously can link to Neymar, link to other Brazilian players, but also Team of the Year Ramos, for example. There are lots of options.
Or the regular Ramos.
Yeah, yeah, if you're a pleb. yeah, not particularly planning to get Team of the Year Ramos myself or anything, but I just felt like he was a kind of player that, you know, he's one of those players that does kind of fill a niche in a way. He might, maybe there'll be particular SBCs that he could be used for, or obviously he may be in demand.
He's a Real Madrid player.
As those kind of players become more popular, you know, more people buying those elite Liga Santander teams.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, he looks really good. A quick rundown of the stats. He's got, I put Engine on him just because I've found that with beefier CDMs, you need a bit more agility and pace to them. If they've got the other stats, you're kind of good, if that makes sense. So he gets 96 short passing, 90 long passing, so obviously he can spray the ball around. Has 91 standing tackle by default and 89 interceptions, so that's really quite outstanding. He's got decent 86 slide tackle. 76 marking isn't the best, but you could boost that if you wanted to go for a different chemistry style. He's got 85 dribbling, boosted by Engine, obviously. 90 ball control, which is very strong. 90 reactions, which, as we know, can be really helpful, as you've just explained. 77 agility, which is very good for a CDM, as well as 82 long shots and 94 shot power. So he looks like he can test a keeper, which is always good, I think, in that position. And then 70 acceleration and 69 sprint speed, which is kind of just about adequate. But that does kind of need a little bit of a boost, I think. Mm. And why not, when you can kind of just tip him onto the kind of right end of the pace stat, if that makes sense. So yeah, he's not bad, and he's going for about just under 40k at the moment. I mean, I think he might drop a little bit, but he could also rise a little bit, I think, as well, because he's one of those players that you don't know which way to go. Yeah,
cool. Well, my next pick is Ivan Perisic, the other player with 5-star weak foot, 4-star skills, and I think that 5-star weak foot is such a useful attribute to have this year, like particularly with the finishing, because it allows you to do like a low driven shot across goal or a finesse shot, just depending on what position you're in. Whereas a lot of the time otherwise, because those are quite high skill finishes, if you use a player's weaker foot, then they'll screw it up.
Definitely.
And he just looks like an awesome all-round player. I'm just going to talk about his stats as the base stats, because I think the chem cell you'd use on him would differ quite dramatically depending on what position you're playing him. Like you could play him as a classic left mid or right mid, and use something just to boost pace and passing, maybe like engine, or you could have him as a left forward and go the whole hog, just use Hunter. So his stats, he's got 83 acceleration, 88 sprint speed, which is nice. He's got the 5-point difference between acceleration and sprint speed, which means that Chemstar will bring them up to the same level. So if you put Hunter on him, he gets 98-98 for those two, which is pretty nice. In terms of his shooting, he's got excellent positioning, almost 90, 83 finishing, 90 shot power, 87 long shots. So really solid across the board there. Different chem styles, you can pretty much max out his long shots or pretty much max out his finishing, depending on what you want. His agility is only 81, but he's got excellent ball control, excellent dribbling at 86 and 87, decent reactions as well. He's strong, 82 strength, 90 stamina, so he'll keep going. Also 87 jumping and 89 heading accuracy, to bear in mind if you're playing him as a left or right forward.
He's 6 foot as well.
He's 6 foot tall. And then his passing as well. He's got excellent crossing at 87, but also 84 short passing, 82 vision by default. So those are stats that are perfectly usable as they are, or if you boost them, he could be really, really good for link-up play. So I just think kind of if you're going to use him as a left forward, maybe go for Hunter, because you can pretty much max out his pace and shooting. And then if you're going to use him more as a classic winger or wide midfielder, something like Engine work really, really well on him. And he's currently maybe a little bit more expensive than you'd want to pay for him. He's about like nearly 90k on Xbox, this is. So you might want to hold off purchasing him, because I think he'll probably settle quite a bit lower than that.
I think he's one of those players that there's a lot of people out there just really love him, think he's like the best card they've used over the years.
Yeah, to be fair, he has
you
always...
can understand why, but I think over time he kind of drops as people who are really, really in, like, want him sort of hold off.
Yeah, I think
I have got him already. And then
I think he'll have high initial demand, but then he's going to, over this weekend, he's going to get packed to death.
Yeah, probably.
So I think one to wait on.
Yeah, for sure. So I just wanted to quickly, very quickly, chat silver and bronze, because you've got an absolutely outstanding bronze centre-back in this team of the week. His name is Santos. I'm not going to go with his full name, mainly because I can't find it on Foothead, because Foothead doesn't seem to have full names. But yeah, he is phenomenal. So he's got 86 strength, 85 jumping. That's just default, and that's good enough. But when you put Shadow on him, which I'd recommend on bronze and silver players, just because you get that huge defending boost and pace boost, you get 80 interceptions, 85 marking, 87 stand tackle, 87 sliding tackle, 86 acceleration, and 83 sprint speed. So that is just stunning. And so you're thinking, okay, that's solid, but, you know, is he terrible on the ball? Yeah, he's not great on the ball, but he does have 83 agility, which is really good. And then, bizarrely, I was like, oh, he must be quite short. He's 6'5". I mean, absolutely
pretty ridiculous.
He is pretty outstanding. He plays, he's Portuguese, he plays in English League 2. So that means, obviously, for bronze teams, there's plenty of other options. There are actually quite a few bronze informs in that league as well. And so, yeah, he looks really good. And the other player I wanted to bring up, another more defensive player, seems to be all over the defensive players this week, is a guy I've used a number of times, Molina, who's a Mexican CDM who plays for Monterrey. But he has low attacking and high defensive work rate, and he's massive and has really good jumping and defending stats. 90 jumping despite being 6 foot, 96 stamina, 78 strength, and 93 heading accuracy. So he's like a real threat in the box, and I've scored a few corners with him. But he's also just one of those players you can just stick in the middle of your team, of a silver team, and he'll just, you know, just block anything that comes his way in that kind of deep lying role. He's not the quickest, but he's actually got 68 acceleration, which isn't that bad. So I'd definitely recommend giving him a go if you've got you want to make a silver team and you're going to use some Liga Bankam MX players. and he's about 30k. Same with the Portuguese centre back,
who is Ricardo Santos. I've just there we go. Up.
Yeah, I think Molina is Eric, but I'm not sure. I don't know if I'm just completely making that up. But yeah, if you're a close friend of
Jesus,
oh, it's Eric. Jesus, yeah, I don't know why I thought it was Eric. Maybe Eric is like someone else.
I don't know. Might be another Eric.
Maybe. I imagine Molina's like a relatively common name, so maybe.
Yeah. But yeah, they both look like really, really solid bronze and silver shouts.
Yeah, they're great. So I think that
wraps us up
team
on
the week.
Team of the week.
Good stuff.
Yeah, go pick them up on Sunday evening.
Yeah, I think that would be the best time.
Or earlier if you see them.
Yeah, I think just, you know, as always, price you're happy with going for that.
Yeah, for sure.
Great, so straight on to informed impression. Not strictly an inform this week, but I think we'll let you off.
Yeah, yeah, it's a team in the group stage card, and it's Rafael Varane. I'm sure most people by this age have probably used his 84 non-informed card.
It's
and
a really good card.
It's a really, really solid card. It's like almost 80 pace, very good defending, and he's huge. He's 6'3", 6'4". And, I mean, this card is 150k, more there or thereabouts. It's kind of been fluctuating a bit, but the upgrade is pretty nice, to be honest. It takes his pace on the base card up to 80, but if you use Anchor on him, which I've been using, or Shadow even for an extra 5 on top of this, you can get kind of 87 or low 90s pace, which is really, really solid. And with Anchor, he almost maxes out all his defending stats, 94 interceptions, 96 heading accuracy, 97 marking, and 99 for both the tackling. If you use Shadow, that goes up to 99 on everything except heading accuracy. So
yeah.
Very, very tasty. And the reason I've been using Anchor is just because in the last weekend league or so, I've found quite a few people using very, very strong strikers. Like, I've come up against quite a lot of various in-form Lukakus and those sorts of players who have pretty much maxed out strength. And with Anchor, this Varane does get 99 strength. But with Shadow, he only gets 89, which is his base stat. He also, with Anchor, gets 88 jumping and 87 aggression, which I think really helps him in their shoulder-to-shoulders, even though you are losing 5 points on acceleration and sprint speed, both of them. But he's an interesting card because I wasn't initially, when I had him in my team, which is kind of 4-3-2-1 that I've used in, I think I tweeted it out last weekend, I wasn't initially kind of aware of how good he was, I think. I had him alongside Movember Barzagli, and they're both about the same height and both are very similar in-game player models. They're both, they've got like the big body type. And a lot of the time I didn't actually clock until, say, like after I'd passed the ball off, like which one had actually made the tackle. So I wasn't necessarily noticing when Varane was doing outstanding things. Just this week I played a couple of games with him in a different team in a 4-2-3-1 with alongside inform Inigo Martinez, who's a lot shorter, a lot smaller, so just physically there's a much bigger difference, and I was able to tell that it was actually Varane doing like so much of the work in that defense. He is really, really quick, he's unbelievably strong, very good in the air, and he was just making some unbelievable tackles, and I really, really rate him as one of the best center backs I've used this year. If I was going to look at weak points, it's definitely on the ball. I mean, he's got good ball control, 79, and perfectly serviceable short and long passing at 76 and 78, which are both like really solid stats. But his agility and balance are 61 and 49, which is, I mean, we were talking earlier in the team of the week about Tonelli, who's got like 80 agility. These stats, they do let him down a bit. Sometimes he gets caught on the turn. Sometimes, I mean, if he's got the ball at his feet, you just want to get rid of it for the most part, because he's not going to be able to dribble past anyone, or kind of if you try and turn you might get caught, so it's just kind of shielding the ball if you're under pressure and laying it off short.
It's quite interesting his agility is so low considering how quick he is, isn't it?
I mean, you do get centre backs with horrible agility and balance. I mean, it's a bit like Lukaku, who I was talking about. I mean, obviously he's a striker, but he's very quick but has terrible agility and balance.
I mean, in fairness to him as well, his short passing isn't terrible. I mean, like his actual passing isn't.
Yeah, yeah, I was saying. I mean, his passing stats are fine. So if you're not under pressure, he's absolutely golden playing it out. But it's when he gets under pressure. Because another point to note, I've not actually checked what the team of the group stage stat is, but his non-inform has surprisingly low composure. It's only 60 odd, and we were talking about this in our festive special about this composure stat and how it potentially affects how players perform under pressure. So that's something to bear in mind. One last thing to note, he does have 84 reactions, and he does seem to make quite a lot of sort of reaction tackles in the box. When you're not controlling him, he can save you, which is quite a weird thing, but definitely a positive. But I mean, yeah, he's been an excellent centre back for me, and if you're happy to pay 150k, then go for it. And if not, he may drop a little bit. I could see him potentially
yeah,
slumping to maybe 120, 130.
Yeah, it depends on how things go over the weekend. Yeah. But certainly by Sunday when weekend league finishes.
Yeah, definitely. And particularly if he gets an inform, then longer term, this card will probably drop in value.
So now we're going to move on to what would normally be Dynamite Discards, but we're going to change the feature because you guys don't use many Dynamite Discards, we don't think, and we don't use many either. So we were kind of struggling for players over the last couple of weeks. What we're going to do is change it to Player of the Week. And we'd like to thank you first for all your suggestions. They were great and certainly helped us come up with this. We're not, you know, wedded to the idea. We could change it. We may well change it. And we really enjoyed receiving your ideas. And we're certainly looking to add in a few of them, maybe in a slightly different way. And yeah, thanks for that. And we can't get around to thanking everyone individually, but they were really, really good. And we really appreciated it. And I think we're ready to
tackle the first one. This idea is going to be basically a player that we'll probably do one of us do it each week. And it'll be a player that one of us has used who has been quite just crucial to a team that we've been using this week. So it's more kind of time focused than the other ones where it might have been a player that we'd used kind of a couple of weeks ago or over a longer period. It's going to be sort of our MVP from the last 7 days of FIFA. And Ben, you've got our first one. Who is it?
Yeah, so he's a man that I talked about on the Legends I guess we did a Legends special, didn't we? And he was featured because I used him a fair bit at that point. Although I realise now I think maybe he didn't sort of have the right players around him and also possibly didn't have him in the best system. So he's a Legend centre-back. It's Alexi Lalas. Obviously, as I said before, some questions for whether he should be a Legend and whether he should have exactly the same physical stats as Sol Campbell.
little bit suspicious.
A clear copy and paste job. He is a real monster of a player. He's tall. He's about 6'3". He's got 93 strength on card, just standard. Got 81 jumping, 82 aggression, so quite solid there. But where he really excels is obviously he's got 78 pace, which combined with the fact that he's got 93 strength means that you can get shadow on him and get him up to 93 acceleration and 88 sprint speed. And then you've also got a really, really solid set of defending stats, obviously, with shadow. So 93 interceptions, 99 marking, 96 standing tackle and 99 sliding tackle. I'd say that one of the most kind of key things that I found about using him, especially over last weekend league in a 4-2-3-1-2, was his positioning was just outstanding. He was always in the right place. He's got high defensive work rate, low attacking. And so he just sat in that centre-back role, didn't do anything particularly outrageous, didn't kind of charge around the pitch either, but he was able to just fill that role. If someone got in behind him, he's got the pace to get there. He's got the strength to body a player off the ball. And he's kind of the perfect pair for any kind of centre-back in a way. Mm-hmm. He's got the kind of complete package. He's also got 79 short passing, he's got 77 vision, he's got an okay long shot, and he's got 85 penalties. So he kind of, there's little that he can't do. He's not the most agile, 50 agility, but that didn't really matter because you're not asking him to move out quickly, do any quick turns, because he's got the solidity, he's a big kind of body in the game. Mm-hmm. And he makes sure that people can't get around him. So obviously there's the fact that he's also a legend, so he links to a lot of players. You can kind of get whoever you want around him. He can kind of free up your defence to be a bit more, to get in the players you want. And I really found spending the money in that position, like you probably found with Varane, was actually worth it because I kind of backed myself to create chances and score most games. But actually in the defensive side of things, it kind of is not always natural for me, so I think he's really helped out.
Yeah.
And he's been really key in the last week. The number of goals I conceded last weekend was I think I must have conceded half the number of goals because of the team I played him in with.
Wow.
In compared with previous weeks.
Yeah, I think it is a good point about just spending money on your defence, because I think since maybe FIFA 12, when I got Team of the Year Ramos, and I had him for a bit, I don't think I've spent more than maybe 100, 150k on a defender since then.
Mm.
And it does make a massive difference, actually.
Yeah.
You can attack well with a lot of very cheap players, but defending, sometimes you do just have to pay to get the stats.
Yeah, I think so. And there's just like a lot less quick centre-backs, which are quite important in FIFA. So he's a really good one. I'm surprised he's that price in a way at sort of 270 at the moment. And I got him for 240, so he may drop a bit more this weekend. I got him a little while ago now and just sort of haven't sold him because he's been so impressive.
I think he's also potentially overlooked because of the kind of controversy about whether or not he should be a legend.
I think people he is.
Kind of, no one wants to use him because they loved watching him play.
Yeah, it's not like he's got any Sol Campbell never-ending slide tackles in his locker or anything.
Yeah.
Sorry, that awkward stop was Horace smashing the stop button as he had to dash off, presumably to bid on Lalas or something. But that leaves me to wrap it up and say thank you for listening to Foot Weekly. We hope you listen again next week, and we hope you subscribe. And of course, if you want to join the conversation, at Foot Weekly Pod on Twitter.